Here we are now with the sixth of the seven signs recorded by John in his Gospel, the seven miracles which proclaimed that Jesus was God. And today it's Jesus heals a man who had been born blind. Let me read to you from John 9, verses 1 to 7. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So the man went and washed, and came back seeing. Jesus and his disciples are in Jerusalem, and they come across a man who had been blind since his birth. We're going to see how Jesus brought light into both physical and spiritual blindness. In John chapter 8, we read how Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And this miracle of healing follows on that declaration by Jesus. He repeated his declaration that he was the light of the world in verse 5 of our reading, and he was about to demonstrate the truth of that. But Jesus began by dealing with a misunderstanding by his disciples. "Who sinned?" they asked. "This man or his parents, did he or did they cause his blindness by sinning?" "Neither," said Jesus. He did not say why the man was blind. He only announced what the result was going to be, the demonstrating of God's glory. And this is important. Jesus is not saying that suffering is never caused by sin. It clearly is and will be. I'm sure you can all think of examples. Sin has consequences. We live in a world that is not perfect. It is marred by sin, and it's not as God intended it to be. What Jesus was saying is that the man was not born blind because of something he or his parents had done. The disciples should not jump to conclusions and judge him or his parents. "I am the light of the world," declared Jesus. "We must get on with our work." And so he did. Jesus made clay with earth and saliva and applied it to the blind man's eyes. Strange as this may seem to us, this was a process used in the ancient world by those who claimed that they could heal. So it may well have been familiar to the blind man and any witnesses. For all we know, it may have been tried before on the man. Then Jesus told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. This was a pool of what was considered to be exceptionally pure water, in which pilgrims would bathe before going up into the temple in Jerusalem. This instruction, therefore, was a powerful statement about being made clean and restored. And it required his faith. The blind man obeyed, and his sight was restored. He obeyed, and healing followed, so that God was indeed glorified. Now for us today, there's an inevitable question, isn't there? Does healing happen today? Well, here's a modern story. Kathy Priddis is the former Bishop of Hereford's wife. She had a very painful set of growths in the arch of one foot. She could not walk without help and always in pain. An operation on her foot had been unsuccessful. One day in 2008, she and her husband, with two friends, were visiting a little church in the Welsh border hills, in the village of Partrishoe. They often visited that quiet area. And near the church there is a well, which has been for many years regarded as a holy well. And on this occasion of their visit, they made their way down to the well. Kathy felt an urge to bathe her foot in the water. Husband and friends helped her down the steps. She took off her shoe and placed her foot in the well. After a little while, she dried her foot. The party made their way back up the steps and the path, and Kathy then realized she was walking, and walking without pain. She had been healed. When she kept a follow-up appointment with her surgeon, he said, "Your foot is whole, as if it had never been bad." Kathy said, "What are you going to put in my notes?" And he said, "I'm going to write miraculous cure." When she told her story at the next diocesan conference, before all the staff of the diocese, clergy, husbands and wives, and other senior staff, you could have heard a pin drop in the conference hall, as people heard how God had indeed been glorified. Now, I believe that God bringing healing depends on God's purposes for the individual concerned, and precisely how he will be glorified in that person's life. As many of you know, I live most of my life depending on a wheelchair. I believe that God intends me to seek to glorify him from where I am and how I am. This is not always easy, but I know I need to hold on to this conviction, and I need to do this out of trust, not out of a spirit of resignation. But let's go back to John 9 and the man who had received his sight. In John 9, what follows is set out in a vivid and dramatic account. I'll summarise. Neighbours and others saw the man who could now see. They tried to work out what had happened. "Is this really the blind man?" some said. "No, it's him," others said. "It's me," he said. He told them how the man called Jesus had healed him. So they took the man to the authorities, perhaps to show them the wonderful thing that had happened, or perhaps because of the mention of Jesus' name. This healing had taken place on the Sabbath, and that, for the authorities, was a no-no. So there was an inquiry. The man was questioned. He described what had happened. Then his parents were summoned and they were interviewed. "Is this your son? Was he really born blind?" "He's grown up. Let him answer for himself. You ask him," they said. So the man was questioned again. "Who did this to you?" He described what had happened. "A prophet," he said, "a prophet had healed him." The authorities didn't get it. "We know this Jesus was a sinner," they said. The man came straight back at them. "I don't know about that," he said, "but he gave me my sight back." Then he gave them a short theological lecture. They did not like it. The Pharisees then proceed to demonstrate their spiritual blindness. The man who had been healed was expelled from the synagogue, out of fellowship, out of hearing scripture read, out of prayer together, out of teaching, separated from family and friends. What mattered to the authorities was the interpretation of the law and their position as leaders. They put these things before caring for people. But then Jesus found the man. He sought him out and found him, and he put a question to him. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" he said. And the man was open to that question, because spiritual sight was coming his way following the recovery of physical sight. "Who is he, Lord?" he asked, "that I may believe in him?" "I am the one," said Jesus, "the one you can see." What a wonderful touch that was. Before, the man could only hear, but now he could see. The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. The eyes of his heart were opened, and his healing was totally complete. But then there was a very interesting sequel. Jesus spoke to the leaders, and he spoke about spiritual blindness. "I have come," he said, "so that those who are blind may see, and those who see will become blind." Where did that leave the authorities? "We're not blind." "We're not blind, surely," they said. They hoped the answer would be no. But the answer was yes, you are blind. And the reason you are blind is that you have closed eyes. You think you can see, but you can't. So there's a warning for us, not to have our minds closed to what God may be telling us about the way forward for us and for our fellowship here. "Lord, I believe," said the man, and he worshipped him. Let's do the same.